Hey everyone, and welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective. This is the podcast that is here to help you create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. So if you are watching on YouTube, you're going to notice something a little bit different this week. We are actually working on creating a video podcast. So far, this has been an audio podcast. So if you are listening on an audio app like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, everything is going to be exactly the same. But if you're listening on YouTube or if you want to go check it out, you'll see that there is now a video podcast. You'll see me talking, and then we'll be able to have some other things that I'll be able to show you and show you the pictures of in real time as we do the podcast. So I encourage you to go check it out if you would like to watch that video podcast. You can also give me some pointers if you want to as I kind of navigate this. I've never done something like this before, and so this is going to be something new. So you'll get to see a little bit more of me and also some of the things that we're talking about over the next few weeks. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This is just helps others find the show, and it also helps to improve us in the algorithm. So I would just be so appreciative if you did that. Also, we have opened up a More Beautiful Life Collective shop. So if you go onto the blog, you can find all sorts of resources there, and you can find access to our shop. So this has different printables and other resources. I just released an Advent study, so you can look at that for next year, and I'll be releasing other things as well. We're updating some of the stuff that you can find in our subscriber library, and we are putting that on the show. So you can find all of this by visiting the blog at amorebeautifullifecollective.com. I hope everyone had a wonderful few weeks for the holidays. I know that I have been in a full swing of celebrating. So we had lots of family down over the past week. And so we have really, really been celebrating and just enjoying. We have been feasting together. And so now I am ready to get into the full swing of things for New Year's. One of my favorite quotes growing up was the saying by Henry David Thoreau. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "I want to live deep and suck the marrow out of life." Really, that has become my anthem over time. And whenever I think about that, I really try to think about what it means to live deep. What does it mean to suck the marrow out of life, to live that deeply, that intentionally? I think that as we go through these weeks of celebration, we can get a glimpse of what it means to live deep, to take the moments that we are living and try to live them intentionally, to feast together, to spend time together. And we get a glimpse of that kingdom life that I talked about in our episode on how to seek the kingdom of God first every day. I think that culture tells us that to live deep means that we have to be, you know, wealthy to afford the luxuries that comes with that. But really, I don't think that this is what it means to live richly. I don't think you have to be rich to have a rich life. Instead, I think the holidays, they give us this picture of a rich life, and it's all about who you're spending time with, surrounding yourself with these people that you love and that you deeply care about. And then I think it's also this idea of feasting together, of celebrating together. I think that when we're thinking about our life and our goals for our life, we always do more of what we are currently doing. Objects in motion stay in motion, one of Newton's first laws. And so I think that if we find that we are in kind of this state where we are kind of laissez-faire and everything that happens is just what's going to happen and you're not going to change that, you're going to stay in that state. You're going to stay in kind of like that slothful, lazy way of living. But if you focus your life, you are going to find that you will stay in that state, that if you focus your life, you're going to find that you are doing these actions that you need to do. So I think celebrations, you know, if they're with a selfless purpose, if they are to teach us certain truths about God, if they are to honor Him with the traditions that we do, I think they are very, very good. But I think often we just say, hey, you deserve the celebration. And so that becomes something that we feel like we deserve, and so that we do more of, but then we find that maybe that doesn't actually help us feel good. It's not self-care. But I think that's something that as a society, we found that we're pursuing, that we want. When we celebrate just because we feel like we deserve this thing and we feel like we need to celebrate in order to honor ourselves, it just becomes an idol. We're worshiping that thing. But I think sometimes that we can kind of grow fat off our excess whenever we find that we just celebrate over and over and over again that we have all of these times of feasting without times of work, I think we find that we might start to feel a little bit, you know, your waistlines might feel a little bit pudgy, but then you also might feel that in other areas of your life. And I think we feel that tension now, right? I think after you have a time of serious celebration at the end of December, especially because we have, you know, these back-to-back traditions of Halloween and then Thanksgiving, and then we have December, you can kind of feel a little bit like you have just, you've given all you have to these celebrations, and you almost start to feel this yearning to get things done. You feel this yearning to do and to work. And so I think as we look at these upcoming weeks, we are feeling the swing back. So you have these celebrations, and I encourage you to celebrate. I think that's good to celebrate. But as we turn back to the beginning of the year, you're going to find that, you know, you want to get back to those schedules, back to those boundaries of time, back to the priorities being a focus on work. I think January, it puts us back into this ordinary time, into these ordinary schedules where we look forward to the year ahead and we dream and we have this vision. And we talked about that in our last episode. If you want to look back at the last episode, we talked about creating that theme of the year. So you look back at the previous year with a yearly review, and then you go on and you try to set a vision for your year, which is that theme of the year. And so thinking about all of this, you know, at the beginning of the year, you have all of these dreams, all of these goals, this vision that you want to do. But I think we have to just pause just a little bit, and we have to talk about goals themselves. Before we make any other goals or dreams for ourselves and our vision for the year, we need to talk about goals themselves and see what the Bible says about that. Whenever I was recording that episode, one of the things that I started thinking about was kind of like a response. I think sometimes people, they look at the idea of goals, and we have two camps. You know, you have people that feel like you have to make goals, and then you have people who feel like really goals are just kind of optional. And honestly, some people think that, you know, goals aren't even really necessary, and they could go against what God actually has to tell you about life. That goes against the commands that God has given us to set goals for ourselves. And so really what I wanted to do today is I wanted to focus on whether or not goals are biblical, whether or not we are commanded to make goals for ourselves. Because over the next few weeks, we're going to be starting a series on goal setting, on thinking about, you know, accomplishing our to-do list, thinking about creating our schedules for our life. And if we aren't all on the same page about whether or not it's biblical to set goals for our lives, then we really won't understand some of the things that we're going to talk about later. So I'm going to read you a couple verses, and then we can talk about what this actually says about setting goals now. So in James 4, 13 through 15, it says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Luke 12, 16 through 21 contains a parable that describes a man who continues to build bigger barns because he has much wealth, and he wants to store it to live the rest of his life, basically partying. But his life was demanded of him that night. So we have these two images from the Bible. You have James, who's saying, you guys are being foolish, saying you're going to go and do all these things and go to these other towns. And then you have this picture in Luke, where Jesus is saying this man was foolish, that he thought he was going to keep building bigger and bigger barns to basically retire with all this stuff, because really, his life was going to be demanded of him that night. And basically, this gets at the fact that God is sovereign over our lives. And so we can set all these goals for ourselves, but ultimately, God is the one who is going to see if those goals actually matter. He's the one that kind of brings those goals to fruition. I think this shows, whenever we make plans, these two examples, it shows how whenever we make plans without God, if we do this, we're going to end up being led astray. We're going to end up being foolish. I think the sin that tempts these people, it's twofold. Again, it's the sin of excess and wealth. It's saying, hey, I'm going to get more and more and more things. We've talked about that before in looking at materialism. So it's this pursuit of wealth, it's this greed. But then also we have the sin of pride, that basically these people thought that they were lord over their own lives and they were sovereign over their own lives. Another way of saying that is that they're in control of their own lives. But really they weren't. God was in control, and God was the one that ultimately would dictate whether or not they were going to live to see another day. So goal setting, if you are only goal setting based on what you have accomplished, and that's the only thing that matters to you is what you have accomplished and what you are going to accomplish, all the things that you are going to do in your life or with the things that you own, what you are amassing, what you care about, I think you can fall into this trap as well if you are goal setting and those are the things that you're focused on. And I think God, you know, he says to these people, you know, you fool, I'm going to demand your life of you tonight. And have you done really what I have commanded you to do? So I think it's important that we recognize that if we are trying to gain more things, and if we are trying to be Lord of our own lives, then really our goal setting is not important. And it's not godly. But what does this mean for us? Does that mean that all planning is wrong? Does that mean that we're not supposed to set goals in our vision for our life? I think that, you know, if you look at what we talked about last week with setting that yearly review and that theme of the year, that is a substantial amount of time that you're spending planning on what you're going to do. As we look at some of these other topics that we're coming up in the next few weeks going to discuss, if you're only focused on yourself, you know, it's a lot of time that you're wasting planning for these things. But I don't think that means that planning is wrong, but we just have to change our mindset, change our attitude about how we are planning with our lives. So I think that we should plan, obviously. And I think that honestly, we're commanded to plan. I think we're commanded to set goals. But I think it looks a little bit different than the picture that's painted in these stories that we were reading. I think in the stories, there's a focus on self. And I think there's a focus on not considering God or other people. Basically, they're putting themselves as the most important person on the planet, the most important person in their lives. And we know for ourselves, like really, we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to set God first, and then we're supposed to set other people before us. It's all about, in these stories, it's all about accomplishing things for their own benefit so that they're going to have a good life without considering other people. Here's some verses, I'm going to read them to you, that I found on planning throughout the Bible. And there's definitely more that you could look at if you wanted to do a deep dive. But I think this gives us a good picture of what the Bible says about planning. So Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." Psalms 24 says, "May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans." Luke 14:28-30 says, "Which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Proverbs 16:9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And Psalm 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And that last verse, honestly, is one of my favorites. The one that says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I think as you look at all of these verses, one of the things that I notice is that there's this focus on committing and like trusting God with everything that we have planned. But then God is the one that kind of sets those plans in motion. He is the one that gets them done. But it is attached to foolishness that if you don't plan, you are being foolish with your time. If you try to build something and then you realize, oh, I can't actually build this thing. He says, you know, people are saying, what is this guy? How did he, you know, he said he was going to build this thing and now he can't even finish it because he was being so foolish with his money. He wasn't being wise with what he was building. He wasn't stewarding his resources. And so I think that we start to see this pattern in these verses of this distinction between wise living and foolish living. In that last verse that I read from Psalm 90:12, the psalm was written by Moses. And it reminds me, the whole psalm, it reminds me of the fleeting nature of life. When we consider our plans, we have to understand them within the context of the brevity of our life. If you think about the parable that we read in Luke, where the man's life was demanded of him that night, you can start to see how the plans that he made for himself, they were foolish in contrast to the fact that he had such a short amount of time to live. So he was doing all of these things to try to have a good life later on in this world without thinking about how his actions are going to impact his eternal life. So he wasn't living with eternity in mind. He didn't have the kingdom first in his mind. And it makes me think, you know, why does the fleeting short nature of life lead to more wisdom? And I think it's because we recognize that time is a resource that we spend. This idea is going to keep coming up as we talk about some of the other things related to plan. Time is a resource that we spend. It's a currency that we have. It's a resource. It's not abundant. If we don't have this view, we treat time like it is a renewable resource that we get to have do-overs and infinite chances. I think this is the mentality of youth. You know, if you are young, especially in those, you know, teenage days where you think you know everything because you have enough experience where you're not really learning new things every day, but you think that also you have the whole rest of your life to live. And because of that, I think you make a lot of foolish decisions because instead of thinking about things with eternity in mind or thinking about things as being something that is done within a finite amount of time, you think that you're going to have do-overs and second chances in life. But I think before you know it, you know, that's something that as you get older and you start to have your own kids and you start to live life, you realize how fast time goes. You're never going to be back in those high school days. You're never going to graduate high school again, you know, going through those moments of, you know, first learning how to drive your car, having your first love, you know, doing all those crazy things, living through college. As you have kids, you know, you never get those sweet little newborn days back. You know, time just keeps marching on, and it helps you to kind of focus and hone in into this fact that, you know, time is not a renewable resource, and you will never get those times back. You will never go through the birth of your first child again, nor would you want to. You'll never have those moments where you'll get to have, you know, your high school days where you get to do them over again. You'll never be able to live through your college days again. You know, you have these times where it might seem a little bit like a second chance, but really you only have one life. And I mean, there was that whole saying, YOLO, where you only live once. But the thing is, okay, so if we recognize that time is short and you never get these do-overs, that time is not a renewable resource, well then, how should we live? How then should we live? Years ago, I read a book called The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them by Meg Jay. And in this book, the author goes against the idea that 30s are your new 20s. That's pretty popular in culture now where we're kind of, you know, pushing off things. So you're pushing off marriage, which means you're pushing off kids. It might mean that you're pushing off finding a career where you stay in that career, finding like what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And so basically what she talks about is how people use their 20s to just kind of hang out and do things. You know, you might travel, you might, you know, bounce around from job to job. And instead of trying to work up, you know, a corporate ladder or anything like that, you're just kind of hanging out. And so I think people have kind of painted this picture that living like this actually is living deep. You know, we talked about that Henry David Thoreau quote where, you know, you want to live deep, you want to suck the marrow out of life. And so they say that if they, you know, hang out, party, eat, drink, and be merry, they have lived deep in their 20s. But really, we know that that's the opposite of living deep because you look back at what you've done in your 20s and you've recognized, well, I'm not done anything that I wanted to. This time just went away. In the book, she talks about how these kids, once they reach their 30s, they realize that some of their main goals in life have kind of almost passed them by. That, you know, there's less options for people that they want to marry. There's sometimes difficulty with having kids. They've spent their 20s where instead of furthering their resume, they look back and their resume is just kind of, you know, bounced around from job to job and there's really nothing to show for it. And so basically what she said is they would have been better off starting their life, you know, right after they graduated college back in, you know, the early 20s, and they would have had a stronger resume and a stronger financial position and all of those things than where they were at in their late 20s and early 30s, because they kind of have just wasted a decade. And so I think as you look at this, you could see this difference that a foolish heart says that you can put off tomorrow what you should do today because there's always more time. But a wise heart says that our days are numbered, and so we have to live them well. We must live them with intention. So I think this is the difference between planning, between foolish planning and wise planning, between feeling like we are lord of our lives and making plans that are foolish themselves, and being wise with how we spend our days. When we talk about making plans and goals, we recognize that we have to walk this balanced line between living with intention and living with pride and selfish desire. We should always keep in mind the caution from Proverbs 23:4, which says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich, and do not trust in your own cleverness." We don't want to be prideful. We don't want to be greedy with our days. And we don't want to be foolish either. So we must make plans to live our days well. And crucially, our plans have to be about God's work. We have to be about glorifying God, about promoting Him, about promoting His kingdom in the world. Our goal doesn't need to be how we can build bigger barns for all of the things that we accumulate in this life. Our goal should be about how we can be the hands and feet of God now. When we live with attention, we can accomplish great things for God, and we can grow God's kingdom now. This is why we have to work and plan and aim to grow. And so this is the point of setting goals. This is why I think we are commanded to set goals, is because we can do many great things if we live our days wisely, if we steward them wisely, if we recognize that our days are numbered and we will not be able to always go back and have these do-overs where we can live for God later on. Our days are short and we need to make sure that we're living them well now. So the next question becomes, what should we do next? How do we actually accomplish our plans? And I think the short answer of that question is through faith and by the grace of God. Because I think, you know, James talks about this tension between faith and works. We know that we're not saved through our works. So at the end of our lives, it's not like God is going to say, you didn't do enough in this life. You needed to do more to add to the salvation that Jesus has given you. But then again, at the same time, we also recognize that we show our faith through the works that we do. So our works do not save us. Our faith saves us, our faith in what Jesus has already done. But Jesus also commanded us, you know, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, that we are going to be able to, we are recognized by who we are, and who we are is going to be determined by what we do in this life. And so we are supposed to, and this is what he commanded us, we're supposed to, you know, help the poor, visit those who need us, help the people who are in prison, basically do justice to the oppressed, to care for widows and orphans. And so I think that as we look at what we need to do in our lives, we recognize that we're not saved through our works, but we know that we actually need to do works. Like, that is an important part of what we are supposed to do with our lives. We have to work at something. We have to seek God's kingdom first. And so I think we need to recognize that work is not something that we have to run away from, that we spend our whole lives trying to get to the point where we don't work anymore. Instead, I think our whole lives are going to be characterized by work, even after you retire. You're supposed to be working, but again, you're not working in order to accumulate more things. You're working in order to further God's kingdom. And so I think no matter what stage of life you're in, goal setting is important so you can establish those goals. And I think it's important because it helps you be more intentional about what you want to accomplish with your life. It's something that you should regularly do. It helps you live your days wisely, like we've talked about, and it gives you that intentionality that you need to number your days. But again, you're not saved through your goals, but it's something that's important to do so you can further God's kingdom. Now, for some of you guys, we have, you know, two different types of people listening to this. You have some of you guys who work full time, and so you have no time at all. And then you have some of you guys where you have actually quite a bit of time because either you're retired or you're self-employed. You have lots of self-directed time. You know, as a stay-at-home mom, it's like, I do have lots of time that I get to choose what I'm going to do, but a lot of that time is filled up by doing what I need to do, which is, you know, cleaning the house and taking care of the kids and things like that. And so I think goal setting for either groups, whether you work full time or you have lots of self-directed time, either groups, you need to set goals so you can use that time intentionally. I know whenever I was working full time, I had less than an hour every day of time that I could choose. And whenever I say less than an hour, I don't mean like time where I could choose between, you know, watching Netflix or reading a book. I meant less than an hour of time where I need to do literally everything that had to deal with the house. And so, you know, in the morning I would try to read my Bible, and then I would try to get home from work, and I would get home between 4:30 and 5, and then you'd have to cook, and then you'd have to clean up, and then it's like 7 o'clock, you're putting the kids to bed. And so I maybe had between 7:30 and 8:30 before I needed to go to bed so I could get up to wake up at 5 o'clock in the next morning, again. And so in that situation, you know, I only had 1 hour where I would have to clean the house, do any kind of fun activity, any kind of hobbies I wanted to do, and maybe read a book. And so it's hard to not just kind of crash. You know, if you have 1 hour, you're like, I've deserved this time of Netflix watching. But the thing is, you have to use your time wisely, because that's the only hour that you get. And so this is where, if you set goals, you're able to say, okay, well, I know that I want to write a book, or I know that I want to have a conversation with a friend. And so this time that I have, this is the only time I have. And so if I know this is my goal, I'm going to use that time how I want to use that time. I'm not just going to waste it doing something to kill the time until the next day where somebody's telling me I need to wake up so I can get back to work. So if you're working full time, you need to set goals so that you can use your time wisely. The others of us who have lots of self-directed time, it can be easy to feel like time is the one thing that is plentiful. You know, if you are staying home or if you're retired, you know, you kind of live on a fixed income. And so with that, you know, your time is the thing that you can actually give and you have the most of. But I think the danger with that is you start to find ways to kill the time, which is just another way of saying waste time. And so you start to feel like time just kind of slips through your fingertips. And then pretty soon you wake up and, you know, a year has gone by and you're like, what have I done? And so time helps you with goal setting. It helps you to realize the fleetingness of time, that every day, if you know you want to do something, you got to sit down and do it and not just let your day be taken up by other things that are going on in your life that may not be furthering it. And again, they're not always bad things, but you're just basically saying, I'm going to set my priorities. It might not be if you are doing something, like again, if you're saying I want to write a book or record a podcast. Right now, I'm recording this podcast, which means I'm not folding my laundry or washing the dishes in the sink. So I'm choosing my priorities. So if you walk in the house, you'll notice that my priorities right now are not those things. I'm prioritizing other things. And so you have to choose your priorities. And that's true if you're working full time or if you have lots of time that you can choose what you want to do with. You still have to set your priorities, which is where goal setting helps you. You don't want your whole life to be dictated by other people. I read a book called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and that's what he talked about, was the fact that a lot of times we allow ourselves, whether it's a boss that's telling us this or other responsibilities that we have, our whole lives are dictated by other people and they tell us what to do. And the thing is, we don't want that to be the sum of our life, how we have just kind of let others direct us and set the priorities for us. We want to set our priorities, especially if you think in a biblical sense, other people don't always have God's interest at heart. Other people are not always all about the kingdom. And so you want to make sure you're taking back that ability to set the priorities of your life from other people so that you can make your priorities what you actually want to be your priorities, which is to further God's kingdom. And so that's why it's important to recognize when you are just letting other people direct your life and when you are directing your life on your own. So I hope that if you've ever felt a little lost, a little listless, a little rudderless, I hope that you think about the goals that you can accomplish for God. Imagine what you can do with your life to glorify Him. In this way, I think you can grow the kingdom of God and live a life you love, to create a life you love, a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. So, what are some dreams that you have? What do you think that the Bible says about your goals and your dreams? You can comment below or you can email me and let me know what you think. Next week, we're going to dive more deeply into what exactly I mean by some of these big goals. If you feel like, well, yeah, this is all great, but I have no goals, or maybe your only goals are, you know, some of the things that everybody else talks about. You maybe want to read a Bible in the year, or maybe you want to start an exercise routine. I think those are great goals, but I think we also need to be a little bit more adventurous. We're going to talk about how you can set goals that go beyond the bounds of just the normal, you know, New Year's resolutions and how we can use those goals to glorify God. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Again, you can also visit YouTube if you would like to see the video podcast for the first time. And you can leave a rating and review to help others find the show. You can also find more encouragement and helpful content on the blog at amorebeautifullifecollective.com. Until next week, keep creating a life you love and cultivating your heart for God.